It's a joy to be able to come and to share with you on this venue and to just be able to share. But I also mentioned last week, I always wanted to not only tell you what I think or what my hope is and all that, and that's important, but to use it as a teaching, to plant seeds, to better understand us and our relationship with God and how we can work together to grow in grace. You know, grace and love and forgiveness is such an important part of the Christian faith. But the Bible says that the beginning of knowledge is wisdom. Now, we did a proverb study before COVID, and we come to understand that wisdom is God. God is wisdom. Everything that we have comes from God. And the beginning of wisdom is the understanding of who God is. So, with that, talking about wisdom, we all have wisdom. We all like wisdom, but sometimes we don't understand where wisdom begins. And that's what I was thinking as it relates to grace and love and forgiveness and things that we need to do to have better relationships with one another and with God Almighty. So wisdom begins with correction. correction. Yeah. Discipline. You know, no matter how old we get, now we discipline our children and we correct them and we try to get them to grow and enjoy life and know the where God comes into the picture of life. And also, as we, as children of the living God, also need correction. And we need errors in our life and they need to be exposed and mistakes must be admitted. So if we think back on our life, I know my life, boy, I know how much mistakes and things that I did. And sometimes you get in denial. Being a recovered alcoholic, you understand that. We talk about denial. And no matter if it's alcohol or any other substance, we as people get into denial sometimes about things back in our life. So when you start to grow in grace and you realize that you can ask God to forgive you, where you just admit your mistakes or admit your sin, he puts you back on the right path in life. So with that said, think of the person who taught you the most in your life. Now, Judy has a lady in, that she grew up with, Miss Reed, and taught her how to sing and different things, was her Sunday school teacher. And I think we all have those kind of people in our lives that taught us. And think back who that person might be. And when you do that, you'll probably recognize the one who corrected you the most. Now, it might be a grandfather, grandmother, it might be sister, brother, and it's really neat. One of the things that there is an actual hell, people don't like to say, well, I don't want to go to hell. Hell is full of people who rejected correction. Think about that. And heaven is the place that we all want to go, is full of people who've accepted it. So, love, grace, forgiveness, God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's everybody, believe in him will not die but have eternal life. So I was thinking about that, and I was looking in to the book of Hebrews about God's discipline and how God's discipline proves his love. So I want to just read some scriptures out of Hebrew 12 verses 6 through 13. New Living Translation. Rather than hear me preach or talk about it, I wanted to let you know what God's Word says about it. Hear God's Word, New Living Translation. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes those he accepts as his children. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who was never disciplined? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you're illegitimate, and you're not really his children at all. And since we respect our earthly fathers and mothers who discipline us, should we not all the more be cheerfully to submit to the discipline of our heavenly Father and live forever? For our earthly fathers and mothers discipline us for a few years, doing the best they know how. But God's discipline is always right and good for us, because it means we will share in His holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. Yeah, it's painful. But afterward, there'll be quiet harvests of right living for those who are trained in this way. So, take a new grip with your tired hands and stand firm on your shaky legs and mark out a straight path for your feet. Then those who follow you, though they are weak and lame, will not stumble and fall, but will become strong. Think about that. A parent who does not discipline his or her children is a parent who really don't care. Unfortunately, there's a lot of those in our society today. And just as wise and consistent, discipline is an expression of parental love. Discipline is an expression of God's love for you and me. And God disciplines His children through the conviction of sin by, not the preacher, not the teacher, not the Holy Spirit. Conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit. We call it our conscience sometimes, but when we're doing something we shouldn't be doing, the Holy Spirit reminds us, and we can either correct it or we can just keep on going and ignoring it. But the correction and rebuke of His Word, the accountability of the church, and sometimes external events, we can accept the Lord's discipline as obedient children, grateful for a Heavenly Father who cares. And we can't resent it like a rebellious teenager. No, convinced that we don't deserve it or need His advice, that happens. But maybe God is trying to discipline you and me now, and it is time that we say, "Oh, Lord, what is Your response? I have sinned against You." The Bible is full of it, the Psalms, and you know, David, man after God's own heart. The only reason David was a manipulator, he was an adulterer, he was a mess. But he recognized his mess and said, "Oh, Lord, forgive me." And that's what put him on the right path to become not only the greatest king Israel's ever had, but also to give us a message of how we can accept God's grace and love and forgiveness in our life, these some thousands of years later. Well, we have people on our prayer line and prayer requests, and we always say we want to come into a prayer of agreement with them and for them. You don't need me to pray for you. You can pray to God for yourself. That's another thing that is just awesome. God wants to talk to you, and you need to talk to God, just like I'm talking to this microphone, and it's going, the words are going out to you, so hopefully I'm talking to somebody. But we need to talk to God that way. Just pour out your heart. So we come into prayer of agreement with and for those that we know that need a touch. The Jesus Prayer. I love the Jesus Prayer. Did you know the Jesus Prayer is over in John 17? I thought that was the Lord's Prayer. Well, the Lord's Prayer is what we're going to pray, but the one in John 17, Jesus was praying for us, a prayer of intercession. But the prayer He taught to the disciples is what we commonly know as the Lord's Prayer. And we can use it for our model prayer for all of our prayers to line up with as we pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen. God loves you, and so do I.